So, thanks for coming. We're gonna be done with this in 15 minutes. Okay, so it's gonna be brief. The first thing I want to do is tell you what the goal of these groups is. Basically, if I had to put it in one sentence, it's being a family. It's being a family of God that's doing the one another's. So we all are the family of God, but it's hard to express that in, you know, 100 people. And so we're trying to get it down to smaller, more manageable, what, you know, kind of feels and looks like a family, and get together and do the things that God wants us to do, these one another's in the Bible. I've got a video that I'm going to send out to you guys, because part of what stirred this in my heart, and I kind of ignored it when I first saw it, but I started praying, and God gave me this idea. There was a video that I got from a guy that I mentored, him and his wife, when they were getting married. He's in New York. He's actually the son of the previous pastor here. And it was a video of them doing basically like a family group, like this group in their church, and they're having a meal and everything. And it just kind of stirred my heart toward, like, yeah, there's something about that we're supposed to express the family of God, and outside of, you know, our blood family, our spiritual family is supposed to be like almost like this ideal blood family that we probably imagine in our minds. And so that's what we're going for here. The way that these groups were put together was kind of random. I just, based on the days that you could do it, I just stuck you in a group. And in some groups, there's like college students and 60-year-olds and marrieds and singles, and not all of them played out that way. I want to prepare you for that, okay? That, as far as I know, this is not normal to do groups like this in a church. Normally, the way groups are paired up is take people that look alike, take people that act alike, that have the same life stage, and, you know, they're going to walk into a room and go, oh, that person's just like me. That is not how these groups were put together. And I think this can be really sweet, but it's going to be up to your response to it. Because if you walk into that room and want everybody to be like you and to find somebody that's in the same life stage as you and everything to be your buddy, there's a lower likelihood of that in these groups than maybe in some other church group that you could be in somewhere else. But I think this could be really sweet. Because just for one example, I've seen younger Christians can get discipled by more mature Christians, but I've also seen more mature Christians get energy from the young faith, you know, of young Christians. And there's all kinds of things that could happen in these groups, but it's going to start with your attitude towards it going, I came here looking for family, not looking for somebody who's just like me to be my buddy or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or, you know, whatever that is. You might find that, but the attitude has to be, I came here for family. Does that make sense? So just to name a few of the one another's that you're going to do, you encourage one another towards doing what God says. Give each other counsel that's in line with God's word so that you can live the way that God wants you to live and make godly decisions. Hold each other accountable to living a godly life. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Help each other with needs that you have. And celebrate together. Those are things that a healthy family does. And you don't have to check those off of a list each week. Okay? It's just, I'm just saying them just to get you in the right mindset, the right idea of what we're supposed to do with one another. There are going to be elements built in to how this time is designed that will try to get you to do those things. But listen very carefully. Those things will not happen by program. Even if I stand here today and tell you, here's the things that I'm recommending that you do, and you do them all, you still may not experience family and blessing unless you engage it at a heart level of, I am going to be a deep, involved, loving, caring member of this group. Does that make sense? So they will only happen if you decide to do them. Questions so far? Okay. So, how to spend your time in group. First of all, I'd like you to answer some application questions to the sermon from that week as a means of starting to encourage you toward doing what God says, because that's one of our goals together, is that we're encouraging one another to do what God says. So this will start you along that process. If you don't get through all the questions, it's fine. If you get off on one question and start talking deep about your lives and whatever, fine. So there's a lot of flexibility in these. This is just trying to get you going in the right direction. Every week already, some of you get these, some of you don't, but already every week I write some sermon application questions and I send them out to the PACE group folks. I've asked for feedback on those, and for the most part, they love them. And so what I'll do is I'm going to add everybody. Remember, there's no leader to this group. You're all participants, okay? And so I'm going to add all of you that gave me email addresses to my list, and you will get these questions every single week. You may not meet in your group every week. You might only meet every other week or something. You're welcome to, you know, get together with your spouse or just between you and God, sit and answer those questions. But on the weeks that you go to group, print it and take it. Four people might have the questions, or everybody else might have forgot, and yours is the only copy. So print it and take it with you. Take turns asking the questions, or maybe there's one person who does a great job of it or whatever. You guys have control of how you want that to happen. Okay? You're gonna see in a minute here that you are responsible for your group, and so you're going to make decisions together. Okay, so that's just going to be the start of the time, is you guys answering these application questions. But it shouldn't take your whole time, okay? Unless, like I said, you get off on a tangent and you're just talking and you're enjoying it, whatever. This should be a start of you talking about your lives, okay? Talking about your life so you can get perspective, so that you can get counsel, so that you can get accountability. So there's really nothing that's out of bounds. There might be one week where somebody's making a big job decision and you spend 45 minutes talking about that and counseling on that and whatever, or there's a marriage that's struggling and you spend an hour, you spend your whole time, whatever, talking about that. That is fine. You're a family. Just keep asking yourself, is what we're doing in line with expressing family of God? And if it is, do it. Unless it's shallow. Don't be a shallow family. One of the things that I would suggest is that you save time, and this is really key. You're going to have to save time. It won't just like, oh, we got 2 minutes left, let's pray. You are going to have to save a chunk of time to do this, and that is share prayer requests and pray for one another. I've seen this a lot of times turn into like a 45-minute deal. Because when you're sharing prayer requests, all of a sudden that turns into giving counsel and getting getting input and all these different things that happen. So literally you could have the beginning of your group being talking about these sermon questions that actually turns into talking about your lives. And then you just go right into, let's take prayer requests. And that turns into a 45-minute session and your group's done. As long as you're talking deeply and significantly about your lives and how it relates to God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in this time. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, at least once a month, and I would like this to not be optional. I would like this to be part of the structure. And just trust me on it. Do it for a while. If you hate it, you can stop it. But I would like you to do a potluck once a month. Even if you only meet twice a month, once a month have it be a potluck. Because families have meals together. There's just something about it. I don't know what it is. And specifically a potluck, each person having something to share. There's something about that. I don't know. That just helps to share life together. There's another aspect of sharing in that I want to strongly suggest, and that is you rotate homes. Go to each person's home at some point. You don't have to do it in an equal rotation if you don't want, but at some point, go to everybody's home. If somebody lives in an apartment complex, do it at this time of year. It's gorgeous outside. Do it out by the pool and everybody bring their stuff or whatever. If somebody has a small little house, maybe you can all bring tables and meet in their little patio in their backyard. Find some way to get into each person's home, because it's just another way of sharing life. It's another way of being family. There's nobody in my family that I haven't been to their house and spent significant time there. And that should be the case in all these people's lives that you're involved in. Do be sensitive to people's finances. So you might have somebody in your group that's struggling financially. You know, don't ask them to bring the meat or something for the potluck. You know, be sensitive to those kinds of things. as you're doing this. Additionally, I think this meal is an opportunity for outreach. One of the things that kept hitting me as I was thinking through this this group idea was the early church and how they had favor amongst the whole community. And Jesus' words, how he said, people will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. And I was like, how can people see that? How can non-believers see us doing this? And, you know, there have been groups formed in churches where they ask you to invite people to your group. Well, we're talking about God and applying his word to our lives and stuff. And there's a lot of people who don't want that. And they're going to be really uncomfortable being a non-believer there. And it might even hinder your group. I'm not saying don't do it, but it doesn't seem ideal to me. Then I thought about just, what about at these meals, everybody in the group invites friends to the meal. You could do that. Personally, if I was a non-believer, I'd be really uncomfortable getting an invitation from a friend to go to somebody else's house that I didn't know. Maybe you do that. But here's what I want to suggest you do. When the meal is at your house, invite at least one non-believer friend. Because I just did this a couple weeks ago. There was a guy that I played tennis with, never done anything private with him. And I was like, hey, I'm having a bunch of friends over. And they're all Christians. It was for our potlucks that we were doing as a church. I was like, hey, I'm having a bunch of friends over. You want to come? It's fairly natural, I think. So, and then, you know, if they come to that meal and they get to know everybody and they go, this is cool, then maybe they would want to come, you know, to your future meetings or to your future meals or whatever. Questions about that stuff, about how to spend your time together, about the potlucks. No? Okay, so you'd be expecting two resources. One of them is you're going to get a weekly email. If I already have your email address, if I don't, you might want to give it to me. You're going to get a weekly email with sermon questions, unless I don't preach that week. And then another resource that I'm going to, I'll send it to you. I have to write this down. I'll send it to you is the PACE, how to run a PACE group, because basically this is a multi-sex, multi-generation, larger PACE group. So the PACE group stuff might help you understand how to kind of run your time. But again, don't just apply some system and expect the group to be what it's supposed to be. You're creating family, okay? Other questions? Yes. My suggestion would be, because you're going to be talking about your life, we want you to talk about your life in a deep way, and I think it might hinder adults talking about things in their lives if everybody in the group is not at least an adult. So I would say probably, you know, 18 to 20 or somewhere in there is probably the cutoff, you know, for somebody to be in the group. Yeah. For potlucks, yeah, have the kids there, man. That's total family time. Now, you may still want to have, especially if you're only meeting twice a month, you're probably going to want to have some significant conversation over dinner. So you may want to, like, put the kids at a separate table or, you know, something like that, and you guys still kind of try to have group around the table, okay? I don't think so. I mean, it might take you a little longer to get connected with the group if you're there less frequently, but go when you can go. And I would even say, again, we're going to give you some freedom to formulate your group how you want. But say, for example, 90% of the group wants to meet every week. I think you should go ahead and meet every week. And that 10% of people that could only meet every other week, do it. So have the group meet every week, and those people that can only come every other week, fine. Do it that way. Yeah, so the, most of the group will meet every week. And then the people that can only come every other week, fine. Do it that way. Good questions. So hopefully this will develop into outside the group interaction, that you'll be calling each other to talk about your life events, you know, calling each other when you need counsel on some important decision in life or something you're depressed about or, you know, whatever's going on. Getting together just to do things as friends, you know, hey, I got an extra basketball ticket, and the first person you think of is your group members, you know, and do things with them. Or, hey, we're going to the park. Let's call so-and-so that also has kids in our group or whatever and go to the park. One thing, this is important, one thing I want to encourage you not to do outside the group is when you come here to church on Sundays, don't just talk to your group members, okay? This is still the larger family of God, and we have newcomers here, and we have lots of other people here we need to love. I would suggest love them first, talk to them first, and then, you know, you can still go have conversations with your group members, but you're seeing those folks on a more regular basis, so don't just group up with them, or else we're going to become this church of a bunch of little cliques, okay? And I got to tell you, that's one of the greatest things about our church right now that people report all the time is how friendly and loving we are. I mean, my goal for a long time has been to where we don't even need a greeting ministry because our church is just so loving and we always greet newcomers because we just see somebody we don't know and we talk to them, and it's happening. So let's not kill that by what we're doing here with groups, okay? All right, so I'm going to send you this list of things that you need to work out together. You're going to need to work out the frequency. You're going to need to work out the place. You're going to need to work out childcare. You're going to need to work out the final size of your group that you want. Most of them are starting between 7 and 10 people. You're going to have to work out whether you want that to grow and invite people or not. So I'm going to send that to you, okay? If for any reason you need to switch groups, come talk to me. If for some reason your schedule changes and that night doesn't work anymore, come talk to me. If there's some problem in your group that's not working for you, come talk to me. We'll figure it out. Or we'll help you switch groups, okay? Starting your group, what I want to suggest is that you start it in November, that you start it with a potluck, and you start it and you do that potluck with a Thanksgiving theme. Because it's Thanksgiving time, and who should be more thankful than Christians? So, like I said, I'm going to email you the decisions about your group. Recommendations that I have over that initial meeting is that you share your faith stories. So just as a means of trying to get to know each other, starting to get to know each other, you know, give a 10-minute version of, you know, here's my life or here's my life in Christ. All right?